All right, look, I'm going to go in a different direction with this here because we haven't talked about this and we haven't given a lot of oxygen to this. Not the election, not football, not even the Masters later this week, but you put a Mike Elias piece up about baseball at Baltimore Positive earlier this week. I don't know that we have 20 minutes of baseball information, but since I have you here and since our audience does love the Orioles, I'm looking at my Oriole jersey right over in the closet here in my office. Thoughts about baseball in a football week and an election week in November where the weather feels like, hey, I could use a beer out on the porch right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think for baseball, and look, I'm someone who watched all season and I enjoyed the postseason. It was different. It was very weird in these neutral site playoff games and neutral site World Series games, but I still enjoyed it. I was happy to see Clayton Kershaw win a World Series. You know, he's someone that I've really loved to watch over the last decade. But
Mookie,
I think, yeah. Well, he's won before, but you know,
how about Kolarik, man? We got a kid from Catonsville here. If you don't mention him, the whole Mueller family's never going to speak to you again. By the way, we're going to get him on the show. You should come in and be a part of that. You're the baseball guy around here. But Adam wants to do the show. His dad, Frank, everybody.
Yeah, and Brandon Lau, a Terp on the Tampa Bay side. But, you know, bringing it back to the Orioles, and this is baseball in general right now. I mean, you know, it's a very uncertain time. And I'm saying that in the most positive way I can put it. You know, with the pandemic, legitimate or not, you know, we've seen costs and cuts made across the board. What's going to happen with minor league baseball? I mean, there are a lot of things to really be concerned about in that way. And, you know, the Orioles are in there with the other 29 teams in terms of not knowing what that's going to mean. I certainly wouldn't want to be a free agent this offseason. We've talked about that for several years, but especially now. As much as there's a lot of uncertainty, I do like, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. I do like the fact that, you know, they have some young talent that we didn't necessarily get to see because there was no minor league season this year. But, you know, the guys that are progressing, and we saw some signs of it late on the major league roster with Dean Kramer, Keegan Aiken, and Ryan Mountcastle, certainly. But, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's, you know, not really knowing what to expect league-wide. But the one thing I will mention, and I'd be remiss if I did not mention this, was over the last couple of days, seeing the video of Trey Mancini taking some batting practice. As much as we can talk about problems with baseball and the industry and labor uncertainty and the pandemic and whether we're going to have fans at the beginning of next year or not, all the different minor league baseball, lots of problems. And I say that as someone I love who loves baseball. There are a lot of things that baseball has to address and fix if it wants to remain healthy long term.
Yeah, I've been saying that for 25 years on the radio.
Well, and that also speaks to the fact that we always speak about baseball in those terms, and some of it's true.
Well, they've just done such a poor job locally for so long. Now the whole thing globally has a little structure. Look, when the Orioles suck and they're tanking out and the old man's doing crazy stuff, as long as the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Cubs and whoever else is printing money and they're a part of the general fund, and the Red Sox fans suck up 4 days worth of hotel rooms down here 15 years ago and, you know, leave 45,000 tickets behind 4 days in a row. Like, when there's industry behind it, you know, if the Yankees win 120 games every year, some would say that's good, in the way that some would say Tom Brady's been a big part of growing football by the Patriots winning and cheating every year. Whatever sells the tickets. But baseball, once things start going bad, there's a million people like me to tell them why it's bad, right? It's bad because your a-holes, the people who run it and the people around it, are arrogant. Let's start. I mean, I've been saying that for 25 years. Next tier down, it's gotten expensive. There's too many games. Then the games they play, they have completely changed the way the game is played, where left fielders are playing in center fielders are playing in right field, shortstops are playing at second base. Like, all of that, the stats have changed. When I mention wins and losses or RBIs or anything like that, younger people that are into them, it's a generational problem for them. And where they need it to be strong isn't in the league offices. They need it to be strong in Baltimore, in St. Louis, in Boston, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia. They need to be strong in their markets. They need the Royals, after winning world championships, or one and almost winning the second one, to be strong. They need strong franchises that they've never had in Oakland, they've never had in Tampa. There's places they've never had it. This is a place that they had it, and they may never have it again because of the Washington Nationals and the way the market's structured. So I don't know what John Angelos thinks. I don't know really much about what Mike Elias really thinks, because when he speaks, it's Zoom speak now. It's all corporate, you know, where do you go? Yale, Princeton, wherever the hell he went. You know, it's all of that. And it's not anything that's recruiting. Kind of reminds me of the people in the red hats. There was nothing they did to recruit me or anybody else like me. Baseball needs to recruit football fans and golf fans this week, and baseball needs to bring people back. And the only way it can do that is with a strong Baltimore Orioles, because there are no more Bowie Bay Sox and Aberdeen this and Delmarva. They're trying to destroy minor league baseball. I mean, they've destroyed Trenton up in New Jersey. I saw what the Yankees did to them over the weekend. So I follow this, and I don't talk about it a whole lot. I don't even tweet about it a whole lot, although I follow a lot of baseball people, because I don't sense that my audience cares that much about it. I mean, which is really – it's awful for you and me that we change our format, because, like, there is no baseball hot stove. There is no offseason. There is no hope. There is no winter carnival. And the owner is wearing loafers in Nashville and BSing everybody, because no one knows the truth about the franchise. So really, no one really knows what's going on. There's no transparency. There's no access. There's no my phone.
Well, there's not much access to anything right now.
Correct. I mean, correct. So, like, it's almost like they're not in business, bro, right? Like, other than us talking about them right here, right now, and I'll extend this conversation, probably not going to talk a lot about them, you know, for a while. And they need to talk about themselves, because that's the way business works. And they're just not built that way, man. This family and this ownership and this group, and quite frankly, the sport with Mike Trout and Stars and Manny Machado and the good things about the game. I don't know. You know, I mean, I've been on a bender about baseball forever. Now that the whole house is falling apart, I'm thinking, hello, I'm over here. My name's Aparicio. I've loved baseball all my life. You might want to come and get me. You might want me to come back. You might. Because I'm still 52 and, you know, I can afford the tickets and I love baseball. But at some point, they have to come and get people back, Luke. You know what I mean? Like, do they call you and say, hey, give us a hand? I don't think they do. I don't think they know how to do that. I don't think baseball knows how to do that, literally. I don't think they're good at this.
But we're also talking about this in the context of the current environment where you can't recruit people. I mean, you know, other than Zooms. I mean, that, you know, and this is where it's going to be interesting, you know, not to get too far off topic, because I'm not disagreeing with a lot of the points you just made. I think Trey Mancini recruits our heart,
right? Like, literally, he and his girlfriend, Sarah,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And you know Sarah probably better than you know him. I met her. She was very kind to me. I met her at the All-Star game, the one time I had a credential. I met her at the All-Star game on the back well in Washington, and they designed the stadium great, except it has two elevators up and down. So she had all of this video equipment and high heels, and I grabbed her. She's the nicest girl. I walked five. Help her carry some stuff, and next thing I know, she's telling his story in the way I told my wife's story. So I, you know, at some point, I'd love to have them on the show, but, you know, Greg Bader wouldn't allow that. I'd love to tell their story. I'd love to have Audie and Adam Jones sit here with me and my wife and tell me about running around in Japan the last year, because I think the people of baseball need to sell the sport of baseball. And, you know, horse racing realizes that when Bob Baffert takes my call ever. You know what I mean? Like, they need to try harder. Dude, I'll drop the mic on that, because that's what Free the Birds was all about, and that was 14 years ago now. They need to try harder, and I don't know that Rob Manfred even, you know, he's got so much smarmy lawyer in him. I don't think he can get out in front of it. I don't know. You know, Tony Gwynn's dead. Cal Ripken's disinterested. I mean, they need somebody to get out in front of it, to be a leader, to be a Joe Biden, to be a leader for the sport. It's not A-Rod and it's not Ortiz and Frank Thomas, you know, doing their I don't know what it is, but they need something to make themselves relevant, or they're going to go nighty-night in the middle of a plague here the next 5 months. And that speaks for all of them, top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being a little too fatalist about it, but certainly they have issues. And I think Rob Manfred, when you kind of look at baseball as a regional sport, you know, everyone, there's always hand-wringing about playoff ratings. It's a regional sport. But and the reason why is because it's on every single night. So when you watch the Ravens in the NFL, there's a Thursday night game most weeks where the Ravens aren't on, and you're going to watch that because you like the sport. But in Major League Baseball, when you play every single night, if you are a fan first, in most cases, I mean, that's most people. Yeah, you love baseball, but you love your team primarily, so you watch them every night. But when you look at Rob Manfred and how he operates and you know, look at how they've operated with this year. They expanded the playoffs. He talked about it already in October. He likes the expanded playoffs. Why? Because they get lucrative national TV money.
Well, they threatened not playing for, sure. You know, like they threatened the fans through all of this and then they played, right? So it really was rocky if you were a fan following the drama.
Sure.
Of it all, because their business is so out in front of everybody, and it always is. Their game is predicated on their business. Literally, like, it leads with their business as to, Daddy, why do the Yankees get all the players, and I'm a Tampa fan, and why is Manny Machado? But when you're 8 years old, you have to understand free agency, or you can't really follow the sport. Like, literally,
well,
right?
But free agency and player movement is every sport now. I mean,
the NBA as well, right.
Sure. Ed Reed was a Houston Texan. I mean, Terrell Suggs was a Kansas City Chief. I mean, that happens. I mean, that's more and more. And you just mentioned the NBA, which is very popular with a younger
But they all have the same amount of money is what I'm saying. Baseball is the
sure.
one place where, like, if you're a Tampa Rays fan, the reason you're not is because they're never they make the World Series and they're going to lose half of these guys, right?
Yeah, but they remain very competitive. You know, and I think you could actually argue the opposite. I mean, the New York Yankees haven't won a World Series in over a decade now. I mean,
and they feel good.
Right? But I'm just saying, the point is it can be done if you are a well-run organization. And that's where, if you're bringing it back to the Orioles, you're hoping Mike Elias and Sig Meidel and Chris Holt, their pitching coach / pitching coordinator, and you know, the analytics, the technology they're using, you're hoping that puts things back on track from a baseball standpoint. And then you're hoping, and this is where I share many of the same concerns you just expressed, that the organization itself is ready to capitalize on that when they get to a point where you actually have something you can start selling. And you know, whether it's Trey Mancini, whether it's Ryan Mountcastle, Adley Rutschman will be in the majors at some point, I would assume in the next 18 months or so, unless something goes wrong there. They have some really enticing young pitching prospects, but you have to be ready to pounce. And you know, the disconnect that I see with Major League Baseball is, as the point I was trying to make about the postseason, is, you know, they want the money grab of the national TV contract for postseason games. And I get that, especially in the midst of a pandemic where baseball was more dramatically impacted than any of the sports. We talked about this. NBA and NHL were 85 to 90% complete of their regular season. The NFL now had plenty of time to plan to at least have a full season. Now they don't have full stadiums, but they're a team that the national TV money drives it, you know, more so than regional. But you know, with baseball, you have a commissioner who inherently doesn't get the sport himself. And yeah, it sounds great to say you want to have this a bigger postseason and more TV deals and TV money created by that. But the problem is baseball, the selling point for Major League Baseball has always been its regular season. It's every night. It's 6 months. It's 162 games. It is a massive amount of product. And the problem is when you expand your playoff field to over half the teams in the league making it, or half the teams in the league making it, then that devalues the regular season. That's why I cringe when I hear people want to talk about expanding the postseason, because the more and more you do that, the less and less the regular season matters. And this is the problem the NHL and the NBA have dealt with for years. You know, no one pays attention to even people who love the NBA barely pay attention until like February because of that. Because you know, other than starting 1-19, then you're going to have a chance. And you're, you know, it's going to matter, I guess, a little bit. But the problem is everyone focuses on the 8th, 9th, and 10th place teams. to try to get in. Meanwhile, the top teams in the league, and we saw this with baseball this year, in this roughly a two-month season, no one was even talking about the Tampa Bay Rays the last 3 weeks of September. Why? Because they already had one of the top spots locked up. And you know, that's just the problem you have. So, you know, you can have an expanded playoff field, and yeah, you'll root for more parity then, and you'll root for more mediocre teams to sneak in, but it just devalues your product as a whole. And then you get into what you were talking about as prices continue to go up and you realize that these games aren't nearly as important, then people lose interest. And you know, it's a house of cards. I mean, it really is. And then you get into issues like not marketing your best players properly. And it is a problem. And I don't think they're circling the drain by any stretch of the imagination or anything like that, but they clearly have an identity crisis. And as someone who loves baseball and has embraced a lot of the new ways of thinking about baseball, I definitely have my concerns when I watch the product that it's almost gotten too good for its own good in terms of pitchers throwing 100 miles per hour and teams having so much information. And look, I don't want to deter technology and science. We've had a big debate about that from a countrywide standpoint. But when you do look at some of the innovation,
science wins every time. Just live long enough. It does, you know.
It does, but at the same time, a lot of those same principles that have been used on player development has created some of the aesthetically displeasing elements of the game that are becoming more prevalent.
I love that. I'm going to quote you on that. Aesthetically displeasing. That's good. Did you come up with that?
You know, you have more. You have more strikeouts. You have because. I've used the aesthetically pleasing line, I guess, before talking about baseball. Or
I use that on the beach usually, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, but I think, you know, you look at the sport and you know, because everyone throws so hard and because of shifting, you have these guys that, you know, you can try to make contact, but then they're shifting you a certain way and you want to try to hit it over the shift. And that's where launch angle goes. And you try to hit more home runs and then the pitching is adjusted and they're throwing more up in the strike zone. And you know, there's always an adjustment for all of this. I don't know what the perfect solution is, but all of the technology, all the innovation, all the new stats, and all the different ways we measure things now, which is great. There's a lot of brilliance going on behind the scenes.
So much so that they could steal it and use it to their advantage. And,
well, that issue aside, but you're right.
Well, that wasn't good for the game either. Was it any better in 2019 than it was in 1919, right? Literally.
But my point is, with all of that, it has produced a game that is not as entertaining to watch, and that's problematic. And that's, you know, the NBA's dealt with this to a degree with, you know, analytics, with the focus on 3-point shooting. I mean, you don't see mid-range jump shots in the NBA anymore. It's 3-pointers and guys scoring in the paint. Why? Because those are the most efficient ways of scoring, and those are the most efficient ways of winning. So you have that, and it's great to innovate, and I don't want to stunt anyone's innovation or thought or intellect, but you know, I've wondered, is 60 feet 6 inches for so many pitchers now that are hitting triple digits, is that truly the what's best for the game, or do we need to start looking at long-term moving the mound back?
I talked about this with basketball. If basketball wanted to be a real sport, they would have moved the rim up years ago. Literally.
But that's, you know, I don't like arbitrary decisions to just say, oh, well, you know, a reliever has to face three batters, or, you know, we're going to ban the shift. You know, I don't like that as much, but you do get to a point where things do change. Go watch old film of 1940s and 1950s football. And I say this with no disrespect to the Baltimore Colts, who I have such great reverence for and respect for and cherish those stories that were passed down from my grandparents and my parents. But dude, that sport that you watch in the 50s is not remotely what you see in 2000. It's a totally different sport. That's why comparing stats over different eras is a fruitless endeavor, because it's a totally different game. You know, that's always been the case in baseball to some degree, but it's so much more pronounced now just because the game has become so different. So when that happens, do you need some adjusting? And it's not something to do with haste. It's something that needs to be thought of. But you know, baseball certainly has an identity crisis in a lot of different ways right now. And I don't think Rob Manfred is the man to lead them into the future. And I don't know who that guy is. I'm convinced at this point it's not Rob Manfred. But to your point, it also is something that has to be done at the regional and local level as well with the 30 teams, those markets, those surrounding markets. And that's where minor league baseball and what we're seeing right now with that, which this was already going to happen in the pandemic, has just expedited the process. But, you know, I to eliminate affiliates and to cut off your extended regions as far as trying to spark interest, boy, I hear the efficiency of player development, maybe not needing five affiliates, but I think you got to be really careful that, again, I think baseball has become too smart for itself, and it's really becoming more and more detrimental as time goes on. But to end this on a positive note, and I mentioned this briefly, seeing Trey Mancini taking batting practice over these last couple of days, knowing what he went through in 2020 and, you know, a year that's been challenging for everyone, but imagine what he's gone through. Great to see that, and absolutely looking forward to seeing Trey in spring training and back in Baltimore doing his thing. And, you know, a team that has some interesting young players, and he's still the leader, though, so going to be really good to see him back at the ballpark and playing after everything he's gone through this year.
On the baseball side, I'll say a lot of that was brought off. I read the Ben Lindbergh piece on The Ringer just about where baseball is, and that this is our little 15 minutes of where it is, and we'll continue to take – but the Orioles are in the last year of a stadium deal, and that's on Larry Hogan. That's in the middle of a pandemic. That's on John Angelos or whoever is lucid in the Angelos family to come to the table. His brother's a lawyer. Yeah. To sit down and say, what's good for the community? What's good for the family? What's good for the sport? What's good for the region? They've never thought about any of that. The old man was like Trump. What was good for him? And he's out of the decision-making process now. So there is the dawning of a new day. And I know Jeff Barker wrote a piece at the Sun 2 Fridays ago that we've been talking about. The Orioles are on the block. Somebody's going to buy the Orioles.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wrote about this 3 years ago with my Dear John letters when they hired that John Wiedeling guy that lasted till opening day. And the mess that they are, someone's going to have to lead it. And I keep saying that. It's not Mike Elias. It's not Sig Meidel. It's
well, they're
it's
the
not
baseball
a player.
People. You need Yeah. I mean, you've got to have.
You need
vision
somebody
at the
in the community. You need a mayor. You need a mayor of the Orioles to go out and be a goodwill ambassador. They had all of that until this creep screwed the team up during the course of my adulthood. But, you know, every Rex Barney, every John Miller, every Boog Powell, every Brooks Robinson, every all of that, right? Every person that lived in the community, me with the last name Aparicio, people would say Orioles, baseball, Orioles, Little Louie, 66 Orioles, love the Orioles, love baseball. You're a baseball fan. I don't feel any baseball. I feel a lot more for lacrosse in our community, quite frankly, which I've always felt was an issue. But the rubber's meeting the road now on the other end of a pandemic in a city that's had another team come, in a city that's given literally welfare to these filthy, wealthy lawyers who bought this team 25 years ago, who've gotten filthy wealthy off of it, while the franchise has suffered, the community has suffered, downtown has suffered, the fan base has suffered. Everybody suffered but the Ravens. I think the Ravens have done okay, you know, through this whole thing of the malaise of the Orioles. But once again, I love Baltimore. We're Baltimore positive. I'm challenging all of them to say we built the downtown around Major League Baseball. We took a plot of land and made it sacred and called it baseball space. And we've done that for 30 years. What are we going to have to show for it as a community? That's my 10 cents.
Sure,
you can find Luke. Go ahead, Luke. Go ahead.
No, and a couple things just to quickly wrap it up. You know, you want to see a lease, a long-term lease.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and this is, we've seen some signs of this, thankfully, with the Billy Joel concert. And, I mean, I want to see that area, and this goes for the Ravens too with that stadium as well. We talked about this in Cincinnati a couple years ago. When you look at the development, the apartments for 20-somethings, the bars, the restaurants, you know, essentially what we think of Ravens Walk, Cincinnati has that, only there's stuff there, and it's not just stuff set up during football season. There are restaurants, apartment buildings, all of that. I dream of that area being. Maybe you can't do that, and I get it. You have infrastructure and highways going through there, but I dream of Camden Yards being used year round for various events. And I don't want to tear up the field. I understand there's limitations, but to use that and make that more of a 365 day, or not 365, but a weekly, an area that's, something that's used regularly. Same thing for the football stadium. Public funding, we paid for that, right? Maybe not me individually, but people paid for that.
You let's did use- enough. You're in Pennsylvania.
But
you
let's
did enough.
Use, but yet,
good job, PA, baby.
Let's use those
even
facilities.
Pittsburgh, I'm happy with. I'm happy with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Let me be happy with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia for 5 minutes.
But let's
four
have
years.
More concerts and more events at those stadiums and in the surrounding area. And, that's – you've got to do something to spark growth. And, we can sit here and talk about it, but it takes action. And that's something that I think we're all hoping for, to revitalize the downtown area and improve things.
Here's Luke, Baltimore Luke, out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all these places. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We are continuing to debate Ravens and politics and the future of the city, and mixing in some rock and roll here and again, and some old storytelling as well. All of that now available at the old WNST.net, which is the new BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.